Chapter 2. Noisy Coffins. On the night of the 3rd of November, there was a terrible storm with very strong winds. I don't think anyone in Moonfleet could sleep that night. Early the next morning, the churchyard was flooded and water started entering the Why Not Inn. But by 9 o'clock, the wind stopped blowing and the sun came out. Before noon, the people of the village came out of their houses to talk about the terrible storm. This storm was important to me because it changed my life. Now, I will tell you how. Very few people came to church on Sunday morning after the flood. Mr. Glennie, Ratsey, a few of us boys, some old women, and, strangely enough, Elzevir Block, who never went to church. It was cold and damp inside the church, so Ratsey lit a fire. Then something unusual happened. Just as Mr. Glennie started his sermon, we heard a strange noise under the church. It was not a loud noise. It sounded like two boats touching each other at sea. We boys looked at each other, because we knew what was under the church, the tombs of the Mahoons. They had been there a long time, and they had never made any noise. Everyone in the church was frightened. Then we heard another, louder noise.
Oh!
It sounded like the cry of a man. At that point, everyone ran out of the church, except for Mr. Glennie, Ratsey, Elzevir Block, and me. Mr. Glennie went on with his sermon and did not say anything about the strange noises. At the end of the sermon, Ratsey asked,
"Mr. Glennie, are dead men moving under our feet?"
"No, no," said the parson. "The flood has filled the crypt with water, and so the coffins are moving around and making a noise."
I believed the minister's words, but I was frightened. We left the church and walked towards the village together. Mr. Glennie was always friendly and kind to me, so I asked him a question. "Mr. Glennie, what do you know about Blackbeard and his treasure?"
"My dear boy,"
he answered,
"I don't know much. I only know that Colonel John Mahoon, called Blackbeard, spent all of his family's money, and the poor houses of Moonfleet had to close. He was an evil man, and even killed one of his loyal servants. At the end of his life, he was probably afraid, and he talked to the Reverend Kindersley of Dorchester. He left a will, which I have seen."
"You've seen Blackbeard's will?" I asked excitedly.
"Yes,"
said Mr. Glennie.
"He said that his treasure, which was the diamond, should be sold and the money used to repair the poorhouses. But he never said where the diamond was hidden. He probably wanted to get it himself, sell it, and then give the money to the poorhouses. But he died before he could get it. So people say he can't rest in his tomb until the treasure is found and the poor are helped."
I thought a lot about what Mr. Glennie said. Perhaps I could find the diamond one day and become a rich man. I also thought a lot about the noises under the church. I decided that coffins did not make those noises because they get old and the wood breaks after a few years. But what made those strange noises? So on Monday after school, I ran down the street and across the fields to the churchyard. I wanted to listen to the Mahoon coffins. I could not get into the church because Ratsey had the key. But I stood outside and listened carefully. Everything was silent. Those strange noises had stopped. I walked to the back of the church because it was sunny there, and I saw two men, Ratsey and Elzevir Block. Ratsey was lying on the ground with his ear to the wall, and Elzevir was looking at the sea with a small telescope in his hand. I was surprised and didn't know what to do. At first, I felt like running away. But then, I decided to stay. "Good morning, Mr. Ratsey," I said. He jumped to his feet nervously, and his face became bright red.
Good morning, John,"
he said.
"What are you doing in the churchyard?"
"I came to listen to the Mahoon coffins," I answered.
"Well, I came here to examine the church wall after the flood. I think I'll have to repair the wall a bit."
I did not believe what he said, because the church wall was in good condition. As Ratsey was talking to me, I noticed that Elsevier was amused at Ratsey's embarrassment. When we went to church on Sunday, everything was quiet as usual, and there were no strange noises in the crypt. After my meeting with Ratsey and Elsevier at the churchyard, I stayed away from it for a few weeks. One afternoon, at the beginning of February 1758, I was sitting in the churchyard on a flat stone tomb looking at the sea. The floods and bad weather of November had made deep cracks in the earth. I looked at one of the cracks and noticed that it got bigger on the other side of the tomb. I got on my knees and looked down into the big crack, which was like a small hole. I was very surprised and excited when I saw that there was something under the tomb. For a boy of my age, this was a great discovery. I put my feet into the small hole and jumped down. I had discovered a secret passage under the church. My heart beat fast as I slowly walked along the dark passage. Could this be where Blackbeard had hidden his diamond? Suddenly, it was so dark that I couldn't see, and I was afraid. I climbed out quickly and decided to return later with a candle. I ran home and got there late for tea. My aunt was angry, but she only said,
"You mustn't come home so late, John. A young boy should never be out after 7:30. It's not safe."
After tea, Aunt Jane started reading a book to me, but it was too serious, so I thought about Blackbeard's treasure. When she finished reading, it was time for bed, and we both went up to our rooms. "I'll wait for her to fall asleep, and then I'll get a big candle from the kitchen and go back to the churchyard," I thought excitedly.